Senate's come back from a one-week recess for the 4th of July, and the first item of business up, I believe, will be the Small Business Jobs Act. This is a bill that would try to give small business owners greater access to capital, reduce the tax burden on small businesses in a variety of ways. It sets up a small business lending fund of $30 billion that is then available to provide investment capital to small community banks so that they can increase lending to small businesses. It also allows these businesses to write off more of the cost of purchasing equipment and machinery for their businesses in the year that they make the purchase. So this is helpful legislation that we very much hope we can pass through the Senate and get to the president for signature. There are two other items I wanted to mention that I hope we can move to as well this week, or if not this week, next week. We need to complete action on the conference report that was worked out between the House and Senate on the Wall Street reform legislation, the regulatory reform legislation that has been pending here in the Congress for some time, and get that sent to the president. We also are going to try again to put back in place the extended unemployment benefits that have been allowed to lapse because we weren't able to get 60 votes to keep them in place previously. We're going to make another run at that. I think that last item may have to wait until the governor of West Virginia gets a replacement appointed for Senator Byrd, since we do not have a full complement of Democratic senators now, and I think we will need that in order to put those unemployment benefits in place again. So let me stop with that and just take any questions on those subjects or anything else. Jim Williams, are you there?
Good morning, Senator Bingaman. How are you?
I'm okay. How are you?
Doing fine, thanks. You were just referencing a couple of different items that are both going to require 60 votes to overcome a filibuster, that financial regulation bill, the unemployment benefits extension. These two items, both to a lot of people, might seem like items that should be, have broader support. I guess I would want to ask you what your thoughts are about having to overcome filibusters on both of these items, extending unemployment benefits and then regulating the financial industry in the face of, you know, what we've been looking at over the past few years. How do you feel about that?
Well, I think it's unfortunate that we can't get agreement to just have an up or down vote on each of those items. But the reality here is that we have some in the Senate who are committed to opposing anything that the president supports, basically. And so we have a pretty strong, unified Republican opposition to these two items and anything else that the president would like to get done between now and the election. We are approaching an election this fall, and I think the decision has been made, unfortunately, that the best strategy for some of our colleagues here is just to resist anything and everything that is proposed by the president.
Well, on that financial regulation bill, looking for the 60 votes there, are there some elements in that bill that you think may have to be sacrificed to get to that number?
I don't believe so. I think we can get 60 votes for that. There are two or three Republicans who've indicated they would break with their caucus, break with the rest of the Republicans in the Senate, and support the bill. And so we hope that they would join with the Democrats and get this bill enacted as it has come out of the conference with the House and Senate. In order to make changes at this point, of course, it would be very difficult because we're now to the final stage. The House has passed the conference report, and it's just up to the Senate to go ahead and do so as well.
Can I ask you if you've heard from any New Mexicans on this unemployment benefits extension? Have you been hearing from constituents on the need to extend that, or what's going on there?
Yes, I have. And in fact, our estimate is that there are about 1,200 individuals in New Mexico who are losing their unemployment benefits each week. Now that the support for federally provided unemployment benefits has lapsed, there are a limited number of weeks of state-supported unemployment benefits that are available to people in New Mexico. But what we've had in place are an extension of that number of weeks that the federal government would go ahead and underwrite. And that's the part that has lapsed.
Okay, thanks.
Uh-huh. Is Bill Dupuy there?
Yes, I am. Good morning.
Morning.
Santa Fe, as you probably know, has an innovative solar and thermal financing program handled by county government. But it's on hold now, the result of new proposed rules by federal banking regulators, because of the way that those loans to residential homeowners are repaid as part of the tax bill. I don't know if you caught up with this. It came out at the end of the recess or during the recess, but it is putting these programs on hold. Some around the nation are already suspended. Have you a comment?
Frankly, I have seen something in the news about this. I haven't gotten into it in enough depth to have much of a comment. I think we're going to obviously look at what the problem is, see if there's anything that the Congress needs to do to try to correct the difficulty. My own view is that when communities like Santa Fe want to put these programs in place to encourage more development of renewable energy projects, we ought to support that at the federal level. So we need to look at what the problem is that has arisen and see if we can resolve it.
Now, it probably falls to a banking committee in the Senate, but would the Energy Committee, which you head, have any role in helping provide some guidance?
We might, but as I understand it, this has to do with the federal tax code, and that may mean that it's in the finance committee instead. I don't know. We'll have to get more into the detail of it to know.
Okay, thanks.
Uh-huh. Let's see, Mike Jackson, did Mike come in or not?
I'm right here, Senator.
Yeah, go ahead if you have a question.
Well, yeah, just a couple things, or just one thing I wanted to get your thoughts on. I know that we've got an election, a general election looming, and a lot of people are going to be campaigning. How much work do you think Congress is actually going to be able to get done between now and Election Day in November?
Well, I hope we can get some useful work done. We have about a four-week work period that we're starting today. And that is our best opportunity to get work done. And then we will be on a recess in August and the first week of September. And then we come back into session and do another 4 weeks as expected in September and early October. So there's about 8 weeks of legislative time that we have to work with here. I hope we can do something. I hope we can do something on the energy front. We've been trying now for many months to get an energy bill considered here in the Senate, have not been successful. I think the majority leader is going to try to find time on the Senate schedule for us to do that here in the next 4 weeks.
What's the likelihood of seeing some sort of immigration bill or some sort of immigration talk on the horizon? Do you think that's going to happen this year? Do you think you're going to have to wait till next year?
I think it's very likely it'll have to wait till next year.
Okay, that's all I have for now.
Okay. Jim, we're back to you.
Okay, thanks. I just want to go back to the energy bill there for just a second. The question about, you know, this being an election year, obviously maybe a little bit more pressure on Democrats to get something passed here. And we've talked, I think, you and I in the past about a cap on carbon emissions, and I know that you're in support of that, but you've also expressed that it's going to be difficult to find the votes to get that done. I just want to ask you this question fairly directly. With Democrats having, one of the largest majorities they've had in a while in the Senate in particular, is it now or never for capping carbon emissions?
Well, I certainly don't believe it's now or never. I think the truth is we need to bring around some additional Republican senators to support some type of limit on greenhouse gas emissions. I believe it's in the country's best interest, and I think it'll strengthen not only improve our environment long term, but I think it will strengthen our economy if we embrace some kind of restrictions on greenhouse gas emissions. And I think that that's something we ought to be able to persuade not just Democrats, but also some of our Republican members to support.
But the reality, it seems, in the Senate is that that is not the case, that even though the argument may seem to be a strong one in favor of capping carbon emissions, there's just enough opposition in the Senate that it just wouldn't necessarily even be included in an energy bill, potentially. You know, you're looking at, again, another potential filibuster, specifically if there's a cap included in this bill. And I know that there have been some Republicans and a few Democrats who've said, you know, we're just not going to support a cap because of the industries here in our home state. So I guess the question here, though, is given what we know from some scientists who talk about the increase in carbon emissions leading to an increase in temperatures, how much time do we have? Have you been able to talk with scientists about that, and what are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think that many in the scientific community who've looked at this issue are advocating much stronger efforts, not just by the United States, but by all major industrial countries to reduce greenhouse gas emissions quickly. Unfortunately, there's a substantial gulf between what they are advocating be done and what it is politically feasible to do. And that's true in this country. It's true in most of the industrial world. And so so I think that we need to keep working at it, and we need to try to better educate policymakers to understand that that this is an urgent issue that demands attention. But I think that the challenge is substantial. It's not something we can do here by ourselves, but it's something we need to provide some leadership on.
Okay, thanks.
Uh-huh. Bill, did you have other questions?
I do indeed. The new federal watchdog overseeing the oil and gas drilling offshore is making statements about ruffling feathers of environmentalists, and he's also not afraid to fine oil companies if they do the wrong thing. His name is Michael Bromwich. I'm still nagged by the fact that he has no previous experience on either side of the bench except as the legal representative for the company involved in the second largest environmental disaster in U.S. history, which took place in southern New Mexico. Dozens of people were killed. Is he the right man for the job, Michael Bromwich?
I believe he is. This is not someone who's come to the Senate for confirmation. This is a person that the Secretary of Interior and the President are able to appoint without Senate confirmation. But he does have a reputation for integrity, but also for strict enforcement of the law. He was the Inspector General in the Department of Justice, excuse me, and I think he gets good reviews for the work he did there. He seems to be aggressively pursuing his new responsibilities, and I'm inclined to give him the benefit of the doubt and hope that he does well.
In whose administration was he Inspector General?
I believe he was Inspector General during the Clinton administration.
And you feel that he does have the qualifications to make the offshore drilling regulations work?
I believe he does. I think he's well-respected as a lawyer and as a good administrator, and those are important factors in trying to carry out this difficult job he's now got.
Okay, thanks.
Mike, are you still there?
Yeah, Senator, right here. Was wondering if you could shed some more light on the National Day of the Cowboy.
I can't shed a lot of light on it. Tell me more specifically what.
Oh, I was just wondering if you could just give us your comments on the resolution the resolution that the Senate approved regarding the National Day of the American Cowboy.
I think this is a resolution we do every year, and I think it's a designation that we make every year to try to acknowledge the contributions that cowboys have made in the history of the country and are continuing to make, and the virtues of that tradition.
Okay, that's all I have.
Okay. Jim, did you have other questions?
I do, Senator. I had a couple of questions, and I want to just follow up again on this, on kind of what's happening right now politically in the Senate. There's the Washington Post over the weekend had a big article about this oil spill in the Gulf failing to produce gains for U.S. environmentalists. And I think the crux of the article was that there's not a lot of real policy changes that are strong that are coming out of Congress as of yet. And some of that, of course, would be contained in that energy bill. But I want to go back to this again to just ask about whether you think it's possible that that people may see Congress as just being too gridlocked, even in the face of a disaster like what we've seen in the Gulf, and just simply will want some change in Congress in November.
Well, I don't question that people have a high level of anxiety and frustration with a lot of things that are going on. First, the bad economy. Second, of course, this oil spill in the Gulf. There are a lot of other issues that the war in Afghanistan. There's a lot of issues that are unsettling. That people legitimately are concerned about. Whether they choose to vote anyone in particular into office or out of office because of that is hard to predict. I think there's no question that we have gridlock in Washington in several respects. But again, I don't know exactly who the voters will choose to blame for that. And whether or not this will be a major factor in the fall elections.
Okay. My other question is just on immigration policy, and you referenced it a little bit earlier in answering a question. We're holding a forum this Wednesday here in New Mexico on immigration policy, and the reason for the forum is that there are local and state governments acting on immigration policy in absence of federal action. And this absence of federal action has been going on now for years, and there's a great deal of frustration on the local level here about that. So could you elaborate a little bit on your feelings on the inability of Congress to act on immigration policy reform at this time?
Well, again, it's another issue that cries out for attention, because I do think we have a broken system today where we are not following policies that solve the problems of illegal immigration or that help us with legal immigration in ways that we need to make progress. So I think it's a serious issue. It needs to be addressed. At the federal level, we passed a bill 3 years ago through the Senate that I supported. It was the Kennedy-McCain bill, and it was a comprehensive immigration bill. I think our difficulty this year is, of course, Senator Kennedy is no longer in the Senate. He died. And Senator McCain no longer supports the bill. And as far as I know, none of his Republican colleagues support the bill either. So we are having great difficulty seeing how we could get the necessary votes to do something like comprehensive immigration reform, even along the lines that the Kennedy-McCain bill outlined several years ago.
If you have a moment, could you outline for me to take to this forum in an ideal world, what you'd like to see happen with immigration reform? What elements in that package would you like to see?
Well, the main elements that are involved in any major immigration reform, I think, are pretty well understood. better control of our borders. Everyone supports doing that, and tremendous progress has been made in doing that, particularly in the U.S., in the New Mexico-Mexico border in recent years. There's been a dramatic reduction in illegal immigration across that border. So that's a part of it, modernizing the legal immigration system that we have. That's a substantial part of what needs to be done as well. Folks don't realize that over half of the people who are in this country illegally came here legally. They came here on one kind of visa or another and then overstayed their legal status and are now not legally present here. But we haven't had in place a system that properly monitored that. So we need to modernize the legal immigration system that we've got. Third is there needs to be some kind of path for citizenship for folks who have been here a significant period of time and who are willing to take the necessary steps to gain legal status.
And what does that path look like to you? How is that done specifically?
Well, specifically, we went. You know, we laid out a very specific path as part of that Kennedy-McCain legislation, and it did involve people taking a status that they would then have to wait a number of years to essentially get to the back of the line so that they wouldn't be taking positions that folks who are applying for immigration to this country are currently holding. They would have to learn English. They would have to stay out of any legal trouble. They would have to do a variety of things. So there's a specific path that was laid out there and that got some reasonable bipartisan support.
Okay, thanks very much.
Thank you very much. Bill, did you have anything else?
I'm all done. Many thanks.
Okay. And Mike, did you have another question?
No, Senator, we're done here.
Okay. Thank you all very much for talking with me.
Thank you.
All right.
Good day.
Bye-bye.